you ever watch children's programming, cartoons, and things of the like, you will find that it's very easy to tell who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. The bad guys have eyebrows that face this way. The good guys are always smiling. This is very easy, and children need that. Children need to see things in black and white. There are good and there are bad. There are good people and bad people. There are good things and bad things. And that's just the way children... Nuance is something that comes a little bit later. It's something that we're able to appreciate a little bit later in life. Gray is something that very often we don't appreciate when we're very young. And the fact that children learn Sefer Bereishis, typically against what Rashi and Chumash tells us was the minute, but children start with Sefer Bereishis, not with Sefer Vayikra, typically in most of our schools, fits very nicely, because Sefer Bereishis also has heroes and villains. Very easy to pick who the heroes are and who the villains are. We could do a quick game over here. Avraham?
Hero.
There you go. Lavan? Villain. Right? Very easy to do, right? It's really not bad. Noach? Hero, for the most part, right? Most of the time, it's very easy to pick who is a hero and who's a villain. Here's a tough one, though. Lot? What's Lot exactly? Lot is a very tough nut to crack, as they say. A very difficult guy to figure out. He faithfully follows his uncle without being asked to do so. Avram, it was a big nisayon. Lech lecha, me'aretzcha, me'latcha, go away, leave your family behind, leave everything behind, everything you know, your home. Lot does the same thing. He latches onto Avram Avinu and he leaves everything aside. Went with him to Mitzrayim, and while in Mitzrayim, didn't tell anybody who Sarah really was. Didn't reveal to Paro that Sarah was really Avram's wife and not his sister like he claimed. So he's like a brother to Avram Avinu. How do I know he's like a brother to Avram Avinu? Because Avram Avinu said so. Ki anoshim achim anachnu. We're brothers. Yet, the same character, Lot, is apparently too great of a Rasha to remain with Avram Avinu. Chazal tell us, kol zman sha'rasha imo haya hadibur porish mimenu. As long as that Rasha was with Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to Avraham Avinu, because he had this Rasha with him, Lot. Additionally, Lot is enticed by Sodom. He's intrigued by Sodom. To the extent that Chazal believed that what was it that enticed him about Sodom? The sexual immorality, Chazal say, is what really seemed attractive to Lot. Lot saw the depravity of Sodom and he said, I want some of that. That's where I want to live. So what do we make of a person like Lot? How are we to figure out what Lot really is? And the truth is, Chazal generally are in favor of us painting black and white pictures of our biblical figures. Megalgalin zuchus al yedei zakai v'chov al yedei chayiv means when we have someone that we know to be a tzaddik, we try to reinterpret all of his behaviors to be acts of righteousness. And when we have someone who's known to be a rasha, we try to reinterpret all of his behaviors as acts of wickedness. That's why when Yaakov Avinu blatantly lies to his father, we say, no, he wasn't really lying. Ani, Yaakov, Esav b'chorecha, right? We do whatever we can to try to justify the acts of tzaddikim. We try to keep it black and white, but what do we do about Lot? That's question number one. There's a medrash, expounds on a pasuk in Mishlei, the ta'ava yivakesh nifrad. Says the Medrash, Zelot shenifrad me'Avraham. B'chol toshia yizgala, shenizgala klono bebate knesios bebate midrashos. Lot, the Medrash interprets the Pasuk, is telling us, is someone whose humiliation, whose embarrassment is exposed, is revealed in our shuls and in our bate Medrash. Omer Rabbi Tanchuma bar Rabbi Chia Mishem Rab Hoshia, Turgamna, Ein kol Shabbos v'Shabbos she'ein korin ba parshaso shalot. A single Shabbos doesn't go by where we don't read about the parsha of Lot. Every Shabbos you read about the parsha of Lot. What's the obvious problem? We don't. We read the parsha of Lot once a year. So this week's parsha is parsha Lech Lecha. We read it. That's it. We don't read about the parsha of Lot every single Shabbos. Okay, Vayera also a little bit. Fine. But it's not every Shabbos that we read the Parsha of Lot. seems woefully inaccurate. In fact, some of the Mefarshim on the Medrash change the gears in the Medrash. They say can't mean that. So what does it mean? It means b'chol shana v'shana. That must be the gears. Not b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos, which would mean every Shabbos, but every year. And even that, when did that start happening? That we finish the Torah every year, and the times of Chazal didn't exist yet. So the whole Medrash is difficult to understand. That's question number two. Question number three, on a very basic level, it's very difficult to figure out why Avraham was willing to give up on Lot. What was Avraham's midah? What was he always doing? He was bringing people in. Tent is open on all four sides, Hachmas HaSarchim, going from town to town, getting up on a soapbox, preaching monotheism to people who never heard of it before, people who are pagans, who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Avraham Avinu was taking them all in, and the HaNefesh HaSharasu B'Charan, he made Nefesh, what does it mean he made Nefesh, says the Rambam, tens of thousands of people he was Makari, and he got to believe in monotheism, and he was able to impact, he was able to influence. And his own nephew, the nephew is like a brother, the nephew who relies on him, he gives up on. He says, listen, go away, I can't be with you. You have to leave. If you go left, I go right. What strong Lashonos that is. It's not just like we'll happen not to live near each other. If you go that way, I have to go the other way. We can't be near each other. The guy that could turn anyone around, and his own nephew can't turn around, especially a nephew with so many great qualities. So those are the three questions. First of all, what do we make of Lot? Tzaddik or Rasha? Second, how could the Medrash say we read about Lot each and every week? We don't. And third, how could it be that Avraham Avinu would give up on Lot when he gives up on nobody? Rav Shimon Schwab in Mayan Beis HaShoeva explains that maybe we can understand everything there is to understand about Lot with a single pasuk that describes him. The pasuk describes how Avram and Lot traveled. Vayikhu es Lot, they took Lot, ve'esru chusho, and his money, ben achi Avram, the nephew of Avram, Vayelchu, and they went, Vuyashiv b'Sodom, and he went to Sodom. Lot went to Sodom when they parted. Pasuk is describing something a little bit strange about that pasuk. They took Lot. Who is Lot? Ben Achi Avram. He's the nephew of Avram. That's not what the pasuk says. Veichas Lot ve'esru chusho ben Achi Avram. His wealth, the nephew of Avram. Really? Lot's wealth was the nephew of Avram? Wasn't Lot the person the nephew of Avram, and his wealth is not really related? Why does it describe Lot? Ve'esru chusho ben achi Avram. The Torah should have said, Vayichu es Lot ben achi Avram, ve'esru chusho. They took Lot, the nephew of Avram, and his rechush. And then they went to stone. You have to say Lot is first, and then tell us of his fortune. So with that minor shift in words, says Rav Schwab, the Torah reveals to us Lot's fatal flaw. He loved Avram very much. He meant well. But there's one thing that kept on getting in between Lot and the possible hashpa'a that Avram could have on Lot, the possible influence that Avram could have on Lot, the impact he could make on his life. And that is ve'es rechusho, the fortune of Lot, the money of Lot. There was no higher priority for Lot than his money. Everyone has demons that they struggle with. Everyone has a yetzer hara that they try to overcome. And we constantly work to overcome them and to make the right choices in life and to do the right things. That's natural. That's what's called being a human being. But some people, though, become so obsessed with their money that they lose touch with the value of anything else. And they start looking at things purely through the prism of money. If I can make money off of it, it's good. If I can't make money off of it, it's bad. If that person can somehow make me some money, then they should be my friend. if I can't benefit financially from that person, then they shouldn't be my friends, because what am I going to get out of it? People sometimes become so fixated on money, and we understand why that is. There's a tremendous pressure in life that we need to survive, and we need to live, and part of living is making enough money to be able to live, to be able to buy food. And that pressure exerts itself to such an extent on some people that they begin to evaluate everything based on that one thing, based on their money. An obsession with money, it's not only a sin in and of itself to be obsessed with money, but it's a gateway toward much bigger averos. Pasuk tells us, Lot chose Sodom because Vayisa Lot es Einav, Vayaris kol kikar hayardein, kol kulo mashke kigan Hashem. He sees Sodom and he sees that it's beautiful, luxurious. Yet, when Chazal interpret what Lot actually saw, Chazal tells us, Vayisa Lot es Einav. He lifted up his eyes. And what did he see? Al shahayu shtu feizima bachar lo Lot b'shchunasam. It was the znus, it was the depravity, it was the immorality that enticed him. Where in the world did Chazal see that in the Pesukim? Pesukim don't say that. Pesukim would say he saw that it was luxurious, it was beautiful, it was gorgeous, it was Beverly Hills. Who would want to live there? I've never been to Beverly Hills. I assume it's nice. In the movies it is. I've never seen a movie. No, I'm just joking. Chazal, perhaps with a deep, penetrating insight, understood that what masks itself as a desire for and an obsession with money, in reality, masks a desire for something that's much broader than money, self-indulgence. Self-indulgence on all levels. It starts with money, but that's a gateway to all sorts of self-indulgence. And you see it so clearly in the development of the story. Eventually, Znus becomes something that's so acceptable to Lot that he sleeps with his own daughters. That when there are people rallying outside of his house, give us your guests, he says, here, take these, and he gives his daughters. That just became his natural reaction. Znus became part of who he was. There are no limits. And people aren't taught to appreciate limits. And people just indulge and indulge. It gets out of control, and it gets out of control quickly. Somebody who overvalues money is likely to lose the capacity for normal reasoning, for a normal analysis of cost-benefit in terms of life. We find when Lot was leaving Sodom, the Torah tells us, Vayisma Meya. You know what that means? He's leaving Sodom, and he hesitates. Why does he hesitate? So Rashi tells us on the spot. He hesitates. Kidei lahatzil mamono. He's leaving Sodom and he hesitates because my money's getting destroyed. Can you imagine? What's happening there in Sodom? The place is being turned upside down. Literally. Fire, sulfur, the whole thing is burning. Everyone is dying. And God chose him to make it out alive. And he says, is it worth it? Should I really get out? Maybe I should get back in there. Crazy. What's he thinking? But if life is defined as money, and he's about to lose his money, he might as well lose his life. And for that moment, he lost it. What am I doing? Maybe I should go back. Kedei lahatzil mamono. Based on this, we can go back and answer all three of the questions that we began with. Avram is very frustrated when dealing with Lot. See, normally, when you're involved in Kiruv, you're involved in reaching people and teaching people, and Kiruv is not only Kiruv Rechokim, as they say, but even Kiruv Krovim. You're involved in trying to inspire people. What you need to do is just, at some level, just peel away all the other layers and talk to a neshama for a moment. And when you're able to just tap into that neshama, just tap into that purity, something will come out. There will be a pintle yid that comes out. But when there's this dark, thick shell around the neshama, and that shell cannot be penetrated, when Lot isn't even Lot, he's Lot ve'es rechusho. When you're talking to Lot, you're not talking to the neshama. You're not talking to the person. You're talking to Lot ve'es rechusha. You're talking to Lot and his money. Well, then it's very hard to tap into that neshama. It was his fatal flaw, and he couldn't overcome it. No matter how well-meaning a person he was in other areas of life, and he was, and he did a lot of really wonderful things, but he couldn't overcome it. We see Lot's story all the time. It's a very tragic story. It's very sad. Somebody told me once, he's an attorney in a very, very large firm, and he was working till well past midnight, you know, every night of the week. Now he's a ready-made partner. It's years later already, and I hope he's working a little less hard. I don't know. I think he is. But I remember he told me that he asked his boss, he said, "It's my wife's birthday. Can I leave a little early tonight? I don't know, like 8 o'clock maybe, so I can meet my wife in the city, go out for dinner. I'll come back after. Dinner will be, you know, 8 to 10 or so. I'll come back at 10 o'clock. You know." And the boss said, "Your wife's birthday. I haven't taken my wife out for her birthday in 20 years. Brings home a hefty paycheck. Hasn't taken her out in 20 years. It's so easy for people to lose sight of what's important. To wear that as a badge of honor. Yeah. But I'm a partner in a law firm, so I need money. Just lose everything. You ask young people, like you, ask people, what do you want to do with your life? What's the answer always? Well, usually it's, I don't know. I guess law school, because I have no idea. But very often, if people do have an idea, the answer of what do you want to do with your life is always what I plan on doing professionally. How I plan on making money. It's not, well, with my life, I actually want to finish Shas. I would like very much to have a wonderful family. I'd like to marry the kind of girl that, you know, has qualities X, Y, and Z. And I'd like to raise my children to believe in the values of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, whatever, you know, whatever your values are. That's never the answer to the question. The answer to the question is always, oh, how? What do I want to do with my life? I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a... Well, that's not what you're doing with your life. That's how you're going to have a hechi timtza to live your life. I was just Menachem Avel last week, the principal of my kids' yeshiva, Rabbi Krigsman. Phenomenal person. And phenomenal family. The whole family is an amazing family. An old Lawrence family, like from a long, long time ago. You know the Krigsman?
Of course. So, I remember when they moved to there, from Laurelton to Laurelton.
Rabbi Krigsman told me that his father was, I forgot what he did for a living,
an engineer,
right? He was fairly successful.
Yeah.
And the day he retired was the last day they ever heard him say a word about his work. Can you imagine? Your whole life doing something every single day, your whole career. And then he retires, not a word about engineering after that. Not a word. And they realized that all of that work, everything he did, it wasn't the goal. It was a hechi timtza. It was a way to be able to achieve what he wanted to really achieve in life. To support his family. To give tzedakah. To do everything else that he wanted to do. But it wasn't what his life was. So inspiring. Because it's so easy to lose sight of that. Now, of course, you should enjoy what you do. Whatever you do, you should enjoy what you do. It should be something that gives you sipka nefesh. But what's life really all about? Ein kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, shein korn ba parshaso shalot, does not mean that we read Parshas Lech Lecha v'Yair every week. It means that every Shabbos we see the story play out. You go to shul and you see people who the whole week, all they do is worry about how they're making their money. And on Shabbos, they try to be inspired spiritually, but there's too large of a shell to penetrate. And that last question, Lot was saved from Sodom? Okay. Lot was saved from Sodom, according to Chazal, because he didn't tell Paro about Sarah's true identity. That's the greatest zechus we could find for Lot. What about the fact that he risked his life to host guests who came to Sodom? That's pretty big, right? No, he didn't rat out Avram Avinu. That's why, that's the greatest suchus. That's why he got saved. Says Rav Golvich Zichrono Levracha, Rashiva Karen Biavne. Every person has their own Nikudas HaBechira. Every person has their own challenges in life. There are certain things that come naturally to a person. Lot grew up in Avram's house. Chesed, Achnas, Archim, that came naturally. That's just what you do when you grow up in Avram's house. But Lot's Nekudas HaBechira was money. Lot's Nekudas HaBechira was wealth. So what might be a difficult challenge for some won't be a difficult challenge for others. The greatest reward a person will receive is when he's able to overcome his personal challenges. For Lot, hosting guests was part of what he was brought up with. It was not a challenge for him. Considering his yearning for money, though, and the amount of money he could have made by just telling Paro about Sarah, by getting in the good graces of the king, and what kind of reward that probably comes with, the challenge of not doing that was much greater. That he didn't evaluate his relationship with Paro vis-a-vis money. And he didn't rat out Avram and Sarah because of the potential for money. That was ultimately his greatest suchus. You know what the greatest irony of this whole thing is? I realize I've been droning on for a long time already. The greatest irony of this whole thing? Who is the richest man of his generation? Avram. Who's the richest man? And Avram doesn't have this problem. Look at the way the Torah describes Avram's wealth. Va'avram kaved ma'od b'mikna b'kesef v'zahav. He was weighed down with flocks of sheep and silver and gold. The wealth was there. It was a burden. Wealth is not a luxury. Wealth is a responsibility. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him all this material wealth and said, okay, now let's see what you do with it. Shlomo Melch declares in Mishlei, Rush va'osher al titen li. He says, Hashem, please don't make me poor and please don't make me rich. It's a big nisayon to be rich. It's not so simple. It's a nisayon. I'm very grateful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make me a rush va'ashir. Neither a poor man nor a rich man. I don't know. If I had all that money that some people have, what would I do with it? You worry about people who have that kind of money. It's a real responsibility. The Gemara in Brachos tells us the Jewish people did not want to take the money on the way out of Mitzrayim. They were happy to leave physically intact, but God insisted that they take it. There's no other choice. If God blesses us with wealth, then we're charged with the responsibility of dealing with it properly. But we have to at the same time toe the line and make sure that the story of Lot that's said and that's seen in Shul every single Shabbos doesn't become our story. Our story is the story of Avraham Avinu. And we hope we're zocha for all the gifts of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but all the more, even more so, we hope that we're zocha to learn how to use them correctly.